Listen and stream the all-new talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And today, day two of this five-day campaign, this week-long campaign on Freedom 106.5 FM for the love of country, we get straight into our discussions. And every discussion that you can have with anyone on the issue of crime, murder comes up. And the murder figure comes up, and the discussion centers around what are we doing? Are we doing enough? What do we need to do about murders? And joining me this morning, I have two special guests. Let me welcome them to our program. Closest to me is Assistant Commissioner of Police for the Spain and Western Retired. Division, Daniel.
Retired.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to our program. And of course, next to him is criminal lawyer C.J. Williams.
That's pleasant morning, thank you.
Let me begin by allowing our retired Assistant Commissioner of Police, Daniel Moore, to tell us a bit about yourself and the service in the police service and what you were involved.
Morning to the Tobago. I'm a retired police commissioner, Assistant Commissioner Daniel Moore, with over 41 years service in the TTPS. My last posting was Tobago Eastern Division. I understand what crime has done to our country. And being a former police officer, I never wanted to stop, you know, going to help the citizens of how we can reduce, especially murders in our country. So I have since joined the Quantum Foundation, and you will learn much more about it in a short while.
And of course, our attorney here this morning, C.J. Williams, tell us a bit about yourself.
Hi, I'm C.J. Williams. I've been, an attorney for about 13, 14 years. But life basically evolves. Mm-hmm. And in this evolution, basically, now I'm known as a human rights defender. And this is also in keeping with the United Nations Security Council resolutions. So basically, for the past 3 years, I've been training almost every single day, getting training into topics about terrorism, topics about pure human rights, and the protection of human rights, and human rights due diligence policy. Yes, so that's me.
That's going to be an interesting element of the discussion, because that often comes up when we have the issue of persons who are charged, persons before the courts, how the police treat with crimes and criminals, and how police actually enforce the law. So this morning, the discussion is an important one, because as a nation, we have for many years evaluated our crime-fighting effectiveness and failures or positives based on the murder figure. Last year, we had the highest murder figure ever. And 2 years prior to that, we had what was then the second highest murder figure, which is now the third. You said to us that in your years in the service, one of the things that you never wanted was for us to get to this stage. And I don't think anyone would want a country to get to the stage where we are. Yesterday we had some discussions, and persons from the police service were suggesting that using the murder figure as a barometer to gauge crime fighting and crime initiatives and everything else might be unfair. Do you think it's unfair for the nation to judge the police service based on crime fighting by the number of murders that we have?
It might be unfair based on the figures, because sometimes you might say crime increased by 50%, but 50% can be one, you know? So sometimes we look at that analogy. However, every murder, you know, it costs the state money, and it caused the family inconvenience. So we are here to ensure, this foundation, to ensure that we want to stem this bleeding. Now, yes, there are the patrols out, all the initiatives, but we are not seeing, you know, people are not seeing the result. Mm-hmm. The result is we want murders to stop. What has this foundation done? This foundation, 2 years ago, a small statement was made from two communities, Port of Spain Division and Western Division. What was his statement? We want to live in peace. And based on that, this foundation began to act within the community. This was a behind the scene. This was literally unknown to anyone in the country. Unknown. Behind the scene activities, behind the scene information. So the foundation, they labored. 2020, they haven't seen any result. 2021, they haven't seen any result. For 20 months, the foundation labored and were wondering, should we give up? However, in 22, there was a light. And the light came when on the 17th day of November 2022, that was the last murder in Port of Spain until the 20th of January 2023. So for 60 something days, there was not a murder in Port of Spain for the month of December. And that lifted the spirit of the foundation. And the drive started. And in January, the downward trend continued. Right now, what we are seeing, because last year, there were 63 murders in Port of Spain. We are in the middle of the year, and there are only 20 murders. So we are seeing that downward. What has caused it? Yes, the patrols are out, but there was much more than that. This foundation have got to all the communities, and they vow that they wanted peace and they will keep it. And we are seeing the evidence today. We have our own drive that what we want to see for Port of Spain and Western Division. We are saying for the most for the year, 36 murders in each of these divisions. That's what we are looking at. Because the foundation continues to drive. These two divisions especially, we are driving, we are speaking. It's not a one-off talk. It's not, you know, like the peace that they have signed and it's falling to pieces. This is a continuous renewal. Every month or twice a month, we get to them, talk with them, ensure that they continue to keep their vow. And they are doing it. And we are seeing the result. We are seeing it and we are continuing to drive. We continue to drive it to ensure that Port of Spain, because I will tell you, Port of Spain and Western Division were two of the highest rate murders, apart from Northern Division, in the country. And now we are seeing they are at the bottom. They are at the bottom. And this is excellent for the nation, because we are seeing something positive happening when it comes to murders in these two divisions. Right now, Western Division is at 22. Port of Spain is at 20 for the year. And that is excellent because last year, Western Division, they stopped at 71 murders.
Let's bring our Tony into the discussion here this morning. I'm sure that in your career, you've had the opportunity to look at some of the trends when it comes to murders, persons who are involved, and some of the circumstances that would have led some of these acts taking place. Were there commonalities that you found in some of the cases? Were there driving factors?
Yes, I would say the major driving factor would be the public health approach that now you hear, like the Minister of National Security, the Prime Minister, Karikram, speaking about, the public health approach. That would be the main commonality throughout all murders, all persons who you interact with. All victims of the murders is, it boils down to what will be like a public health approach to them, basically. That's one. And then also to piggyback on what Mr. Moore was saying, with respect to the murders and reduction of murders, that actually is a model called payment by results, basically. It's something that the UK also does. And so far now we have sold the concept to the persons in the north and the west, meaning if let's just say like one murder cost $1 million, for example, right? 50 murders, that would be like $50 million cost to the state. And this isn't the price for like victim impact or nothing like that. So we have been basically trying to share to the community, spread to the community, hey, it's not just about the crime business, you know. It's about the business of crime. So therefore now, what can we sell to them? Saying that, let's show the government that we can save 20 persons' lives. That 20 persons' lives, that results in $20 million saved to the state. And the time is coming where, you know, like, yes, community centers are good. Yes, playgrounds are good. But basically, you know, out of this $20 million we're saving the state, after we have our stats and our data, let's now go back to the government and say, we saved our $20 million. Why can't we have 10% for the community, for investment? Why can't it have a reintegration fund built? So it's a buy-in. So now, when Granny is seeing her young boy or some other person's young boy going to commit a crime, Granny says, stop. You are messing up our community money, our community fund. And that's the greatest buy-in. I think that's had that particular type of result so far.
Mm.
It's just how it is now. We sell it to the government, basically, and get that sort of buy-in.
But, okay, the statistics suggest the opposite to what both of you are saying.
No,
because
that's the country's
I was about to say that, because
that's a separate...
While you are saying that you have positive results in these two divisions, Port of Spain and Western, overall as a country, the situation is bad.
Yes. So step by step, we can't take over the whole country just like that.
I don't expect you to take over the whole country, but... How come other divisions can't do what you are doing simultaneously? Because that's be the obvious question. If it's working in Port of Spain, it's working in the Western Division, why can't it work in Central? Why can't it work in North? Why can't it work in South? Why not? Because last year we had the highest ever. Over 600 and something murders is debatable, 614, 620, how many ever. And this year, based on the trends, looking at the same amount again. So while you both are saying that you have these positive results in your community and it's 20 or 22 or how much ever, and those are, that's commendable. It is. The rest of the country seem to be making up the deficit. How do we fix that?
Well, what we plan to do is to go from community to community, right? To ensure, because this is just a foundation that just started.
Mm.
So, you know, it's something that we have done and, you know, yes, we are seeing results. So it will catch on. It will catch on to other communities, you know, when they see the positive impact from Port of Spain and Western Division. It will. So it will take time. It will take time. Because we are here, to save lives. Let me tell you what happened when this foundation was launched. It was for Mother's Day. And this foundation, the greatest gift they could have given to any mother in this country, is to present their son and daughter alive, that they can in turn give them the flowers, right? So we have saved lives. You know how many people came to this foundation and said, this one wants to kill me. This one, but they are alive today, they are still alive because of the intervention of this foundation to talk to this one and talk to this one and ensure that your plan does not succeed to kill this one.
And also, basically, right? For me on my part, just a conversation, because if we can show a model, a pattern over a period of time, then if the Minister of National Security, for example, won't listen to us, or the Prime Minister, for example, won't listen to us, then we must ask the reason why. Because is it that you're just willing to risk because you simply think that you're maybe the brightest persons in the country? Is it because you're so stubborn that you all may not want to just listen to the chance, the 1% chance that we may actually be correct in our approach? So it's just a conversation and a matter of time until we have that conversation, because if you don't buy in, then what really, what message are you sending the population?
Well, okay, I'm listening to the conversation, and yes, and while I appreciate the advancements and the progress and the positives, that there's another side of the discussion that I'm sure listeners are thinking, and I'm when we open the phone lines in just a bit, I'm positive we're going to get this. You all are speaking about having conversations with individuals not to commit murder. Conspiring?
No, I disagree with you. Oh, wait, okay,
but let me make the point. It may be seen or may be interpreted by some persons that there is a conspiracy to murder someone. If somebody comes, if I come and say, hey, listen, see that cameraman there, he won't kill me, you know. I need to know, I would have information that somehow there's somebody he told or whatever else, that there is a plan afoot to kill me. That is against the law. I can be charged if police find out that I want to kill you and I'm making plans to kill you. That's conspiracy to murder. We've had persons, high-profile persons, who've been hauled before the courts for the very same thing. So now we are having a conversation about that same thing, about speaking to, I assume, persons who are involved in gang activity, or they're involved in some activity that would lead them to want to kill someone else. Why are we not bringing these people to justice is a question that some people might ask, rather than just allowing them to change their mind and say, well, all right, cool, I ain't doing this again.
Well, this is the approach, because when we speak to people, right, about, you know, who are your enemies and what was the causation of this, you know, enemy, and we get to find out, so we now get involved and find out, why do you want to do this? Let me tell you what happened a few years ago. There were two prime influencers, one from Sealot, one from John. I had cause to speak to both of them separately. And the question I asked, what do you have with this one? And he said nothing. And I asked the other one, what do you have with this one? Nothing. But they are bitter enemy. And I said, it cannot be. You know what I did? I caused them to interchange numbers and they spoke to each other. But what was the problem? The problem was, it's like a hurricane. The center is cool, but the tail wing, the followers are the one who caused most of the uproar in the country, and not the boss. You know, the both of them became friends. And when I visited one of them, you know what he told me? He said, for 2 decades, I haven't visited John. I was up in John, and I spoke to X. I'm just showing the power of communication. It could happen. It could happen.
It obviously is happening.
Yeah, it is happening. In this zone, it is happening, because we are speaking to people, not to tell them, don't go and murder. We are showing them a different lifestyle. The lifestyle is...
You wanted to... Yeah, go ahead.
There are two things. I need to go back to the fact where you intimated that we'll be having conversations about murder. Now, Mr. Moore's role in his role may be different from my role.
Right.
Right, that's one. But secondly, now, most of my clients tell me that the police want to kill them, right? So, what? Most of my clients say that, and this is serious and organized crime type. You understand, right? That's one. But secondly, nothing could move unless the streets move it. Nothing could move. So therefore now, we must have influence on the streets. And once you have influence on the streets, an idea could sow and spread. So anyone who wants to say that they want to have impact without controlling the streets, misnomer, they cannot do it. And that's where we come in. We want to control the streets of all of Trinidad and Tobago, sir. And we are plotting and mapping the framework to get it done. Active persuasion.
Now, pretty interesting discussion. We'll continue. We need to take a quick break. And when we get back, of course, we are encouraging your calls to the program. The number this morning is 623-5227. The number once again, 623-5227. If you'd like to be a part of the program, feel free to call us right after these messages. We'll be right back.
Is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Day two of this campaign on Freedom 106.5 FM for the love of country, where we try to dissect all the issues surrounding our crime situation, a situation that has confronted this nation for a pretty long period of time. And of course, our guest this morning, retired Assistant Commissioner of Police, Fort Espino Western Division, Daniel Moore, and of course, criminal lawyer CJ Williams. And for those of you who'd like to be involved in the program, give us a call at 623-5227, 623-5227. We've been mapping for quite some time the level of violence, the crime situation, violent crimes, murders, and the increase. And it has, you can track the figures, and you can see that they started going up. But in your experience, having been in the service for such a long period of time, was there a period that contributed significantly to this rise in crime? Was there an event? Was there something that's after we can say, well, this is where it all began? Or this is what forced it to explode to the manner in which it is? Or was it just gradually? What's your opinion?
There are several things that, you know, when I look back, you know, it started gradually. And I will look back way back into the 80s or early 90s. I look as far back as then. When Randolph Burroughs was the commissioner of police and he was charged. And everything that he tried to do was abandoned. You know what happened about a decade after, when crimes began increasing? Some of the ex-Flying Squad personnel, which I was one, they asked them to come up with an initiative. You know what they did? They went back into where he stopped a decade ago and start from there. So before it, you know, there could have been an advancement of his work, there was a complete cutoff because of something that he did or they didn't like. And everything, you know, just stagnate and crime just started to take a toll. And the people who you asked to start back the initiative, they went right back to where he stopped 10 years ago. So we were always behind. We were always behind, right? What happened in recent time? We just spoke about the Holiday Inn Accord with the former prime minister. And the initiative was good, but what happened? When the money get to the small man, you know what they did? They began buying guns. And it escalated because the small man have money and not to do a positive investment. They started to do a destructive investment. So crime continued. Everybody have a gun, and because everybody feels a gun is power. And you know, once I have a gun, I could command. I can, you know, keep, you know, a community silent. And crime will go because everybody sees. But everybody refused to say anything. The reason why crime will continue to go up is because people are silent by the gun. They don't want to come forward. They see things. One murderer will be walking up and down the street. Everybody know he commit murder. But there's information, but there's no evidence. So it will go up. Because he believes, well, let's say, I am untouchable. I can do anything because no one will come and give evidence against me. So it will continue to go up and go up and go up because there is no persecution, because there is no evidence. That is one of our greatest problems.
But how do we fix that? How do you begin to instill that kind of confidence in a population that they should come forward, they should risk their life because somewhere, somehow, somebody is going to protect them? I mean, we've heard the horror stories about witness protection or the lack thereof in this country. Tell the listeners, tell the people viewing.
Well, that is bigger than even this foundation, even the TTPS, because I am saying the average person will not. Everybody want to live. And the moment you know you are going on a death wish drive, you will not venture into it. Mm-hmm. No one, everyone want to live. It's a few people who want to die and take their own life. But everyone wants to see the world. They want to live. They want to know what is happening tomorrow. Mm. And to go and give evidence against someone who, something that you see, it will hardly happen because the justice system is slow. And then, you know, the protection of witnesses, you know, that is in a shambles. So where do we go from here? You know? No one will go and give evidence and come back and walk the streets and they will remember what happened to X because he gave evidence a few years ago and now he's dead.
Yeah, and that's just one of the many issues that complicate the thing, that's for sure. But Attorney, you were saying something that we speak of, but many of us don't want to really talk about.
Which is what?
And that is the issue of rogue police officers and their involvement in crime. I remember there was some massive protest in central Trinidad, and one of the persons interviewed on television said publicly that police officers were involved in killing people in Chaguanas, that they were involved in supporting gangs and criminals, and they were on the payroll. And we've had that allegation for a long period of time. Now, police service that has that element. I'm assuming all police services across the world would be susceptible to something like that. Based on your interactions, how bad would you say our situation is?
I would say that, yes, just like no police service in the world is perfect, I agree with you. Yes, there may be some rogue, some rogue elements in the TTPS, I agree with you. But I would say, unfortunately, their design, so I will actually defend them to a point.
Right.
On a serious level, mm-hmm. A, because they are probably one or two good ones, but I trust few. Let's put that out there. However, I would say that the construct of the TTPS office, even the commissioner's office, it is set up to fail. And you may ask why. So if you are in a position that has that you are set up institutionally to fail, then you must be granted some sort of leeway. Why I say that? Once you speak about like gangs, guns, drugs, whatever it is, you must speak about three topics, basically. But I want to go back to one question you said. Why it is the country has moved away to this sort of murder rate and those sort of figures?
Right.
I would say specifically because there's a shifting away from our international obligations with respect to United Nations Security Council resolutions. So it may seem a bit, well, let me try and break it down. Break it down.
No, I need you to explain it. People need to understand. Go ahead.
Okay. So, like, the United Nations Security Resolutions, like, what's most important, basically, will be, like, your terrorism laws in your country, your migration laws in your country, and if you don't, it's terrorism on top, migration below, and then peace and gangs and gang crimes at the bottom. And all three interact together. So if you don't have proper terrorism laws in your country or any migration laws, the systems down here for the gang's peace and the country's peace, that falls. Why? Because then drugs could run. Institutional criminality, institutional drug running could run. Mm-hmm. And once it's about drugs, that's how the guns come in. So the man is trick a bad gun to feel the power. So if you don't deal with institutional problem, then the commissioner of police set up the field. Any policies they have set up the field. And nobody in the country are literally speaking about it from that point of view. Prime Minister, what's going on with our terrorism laws? Is this the reason why it is our banking sector may also be affected? What's going on with our migration laws? But guess what? Is what Mr. Williams saying, well, what's he just saying? Is he saying something wrong? Nobody could tell you saying anything wrong. You understand?
Yeah, I need to take a call. I think we have a call on the line. Let's see who's with us. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Satish and your guest. Now, I am much more frightened now than before, having heard what your guests have been saying. I think Trinidad and Tobago is too small a country for the high crime rate. And if it is that in the Western Division or in the Port of Spain Division, there is a decrease in murders, that gives me, and I am sure the rest of the population, no satisfaction with the high crime rate. My question here is, in fact, before the question, somebody mentioned about witnesses. You now have paper committals where evidence is given on paper and sworn before a justice of the peace. So the issue of fear on the part of witnesses should be eradicated to a great extent. So when people give evidence on paper committals on paper, the perpetrators, the accused persons are unaware as to the witness giving evidence. So I'm not buying into that one. And finally, do you think that the government, who has the responsibility for crime fighting, is adequately furnishing the police service, not only with material things, but with all the support to the police with regard to much needed services, equipment, more manpower, proper training, and so on? Do you think that they're giving sufficient to the police service at this point, or can they do better? And what can they do better? Do we expect that? I thank you. Enjoy.
Okay, the responses are going to have to be brief because we have just about 2 or 3 minutes before the top.
No, you got in your
phone. Well, the issue of paper committal was always there. I mean, it worked because, you know, no one wants to get that evidence, you know, somebody's dead and, you know, everything just going straight into evidence. However, there are questions that he asked about, you know, equipment, which I cannot answer because that is an issue for the TTPS and the government, because I am no longer there, so I cannot answer about what new equipment they have. However, you know, the justice system need to be revamped, and we need, you need quick justice in this country to bring the confidence of the people that, you know, justice does not prolong, you know, for years and years and 10 and 15 years, and you are still there waiting to give mm-hmm. evidence.
Yeah, I think we have another caller, which may be our last before we wrap up. Hello, good morning, caller.
Good morning, Satish, and good morning to your guests.
Yeah, morning, Eric. You're going to have to make it brief.
You're talking about this issue in relation to crime and how you're going to treat with this situation. You know, I'll tell you something. One of the biggest problems we have in this country is white-collar crime, which continues to deplete government revenue in order to treat with the situation on the ground. Because I believe in a situation like this, every productive member and responsible member of every household is supposed to be employed. Because if he or she is not employed, it causes a problem in the society whereby the mouth to be fed in that household that has to be fed, it causes a problem. And we keep having persons gravitating towards what you call the community leaders in the society. So we need to spend money in that area. Secondly, with respect to the question of the police service, sir, you were talking about way back since Randolph Burroughs. Well, let me tell you something, sir. I remember in 1993, Gordon Draper of the PNM was saying in the parliament that we needed to have a police management board. And the UNC was saying, no. I also recall when Ramdani escaped, Ellis Clark and Ramesh Devasaran came up with a plan and went to the parliament. The UNC again said, no. So you see, the problem in this country, and we must be clear about it, we must call names. It is the UNC and the way in which they...
Okay, caller, thank you so much, Eric. Thank you once again. The point that the caller is making, he makes every single time that he calls on the radio, and he ties it back into more legislation and the political wrangling and all of those things, which are important to the discussion, but probably for another day, we don't have the time. This is where we wrap up, and the conversation this morning has been very, very interesting, but we've only just scratched the surface of what needs to be done, and I'm sure that as we move on after this week, we'll have further discussions on this foundation and the good work that you're doing, and taking it to other parts of the country. But I want to thank both of you for being with us here this morning and for sharing your insights into this very important matter. We continue our discussions. We'll have some more guests joining us in studio. We'll continue the discussion on murder. We'll broaden the discussion to include home invasions as well, all part of day two for the love of country on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.